Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed. Basically, because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote unquote, me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start a scene. Alara begins to walk out of the Argent Palace and comes face to face with Igwell. She seems to be looking for the crystal ruby rod and found Alara.
Alara looks at Igwell in surprise, the crystal ruby rod in her hand clutched tightly to her chest as she studies the familiar but formidable figure that stands before her. Igwell
looks up and down Alara. You have me at a disadvantage, and you are carrying my rod.
Alara grips the crystal ruby rod even more firmly, her heart pounding in her chest with a mixture of fear and determination. This rod was never yours to begin with, Igwell. I have only ever sought its true purpose, to use it as a tool for the greater good, to bring about a new order from the chaos that reigns within these twisted realms.
The cat's ears twitch with excitement. Her tail flicks back and forth nervously as she looks back and forth between Alara and the Witch Queen.
Oh, a do-gooder, here in the Abyss? Igwulf begins to laugh. I'll have to dissuade you from that. As she begins to cast a spell, purple lights begin to flit between her fingers.
Shit, I'm not gonna let her use that spell.
We need to take her down. Mistweaver stands up and leaps forward with a fierce cry, ready to tear apart anyone who tries to use magic against them.
Alara watches with bated breath as the spell begins to cast, her own instincts kicking in to protect herself and her beloved companion. She raises her hand, the fingers splaying open, and a burst of fire erupting forth in a dazzling display of arcane energy, an effort to counter the spell and disrupt its progress before it can fully manifest itself.
Before Igwulf can cast the spell, she is engulfed in hellfire. She screams as she is thrown from the room. Alara feels the power of the nine hells flowing through her body and listening to her command.
Alara breathes heavily, the power of the crystal ruby rod pulsing through her veins as she realizes the full extent of its power and the immense responsibility that comes with it. She gazes down at her hands, at the swirling flames that still dance in her palm, a testament to the raw strength and energy that she now possesses. What have I done? I did not mean for this chaos.
Not chaos, my dear. That is the power of the hells, the perfect order I constructed. It is now in your veins.
Alara gasps as she realizes what Asmodeus is telling her, the sheer magnitude of the power she now wields. The potential to reshape the very fabric of reality itself, to bring about a new age of peace and stability in a world torn asunder by darkness and despair.
Mistweaver approaches Alara slowly, her eyes filled with curiosity and concern as she senses the turmoil that swirls within her heart. Alara, are you all right? You have never been this strong before.
Demonic screams fill the halls as a flurry of demons respond to the infernal energies unleashed in their halls.
A new dawn rises over the nine hells, one of perfect order. Ilara's heart pounding with a mix of fear and excitement as she considers the enormity of the power that is now hers to wield, the potential to reshape the very fabric of the multiverse, to create a new order where chaos is banished and all life can live in harmony. Tamaris. Tamaris.
Mistweaver paused at her friend's side in concern. Be careful, Alara. You are in the abyss. This power may be great, but it could also be your undoing if you're not careful.
Ilara breathes in deeply, the crystal ruby rod in hand, clutched tightly to her chest, as she closes her eyes and focuses all her energy on the task at hand. It is time, she whispers, the words echoing faintly as she begins to cast the spell, weaving the fabric of the planes around her, as she calls forth the power of the nine hells, to create a gateway through the chaos, by the power of the nine hells, I open the portal.
Where do you go next, Ilara?
Ilara's eyes open slowly, a soft smile tugging at the corners of her lips as she takes in the sight before her. The shimmering portal that stands before them, and gateway to freedom, and a new beginning. My path, it leads to the Astral Sea.
Mistweaver jumps up to the portal. Let us be off then. I cannot wait to see what adventures await us.
Ilara and Mistweaver's form take on an ethereal glow as they become one with the Astral Sea. Ilara's new senses can see entire cosmos. She can see the souls of the dead being transferred to their home. She can see the living fortress that Caleb has created to protect the plains from the nine hells. She can see each of the gods' domains.
The Astral Sea, how grand! To witness the very fabric of the universe as it was meant to be.
Mistweaver paws at her head as she tilts it, her whiskers twitching at the sight of the vast expanse of the Astral Sea. I've never seen anything like this. So much life. So much purpose. It's like looking into the very heart of creation itself.
And I can see the Fortress of Order, Caleb's magnificent creation, to protect the plains against the Far Realm. Ilara's gaze lingers on the fortress for a moment, a glimmer of curiosity and determination in her eyes as she considers the enormity of Caleb's creation and the role that she now has in maintaining the balance between order and chaos in the vast expanse of the cosmos. I must go. There is a place that I have not seen before. A place where I believe Tamaros may still be. Ilara takes in a deep breath, her heart swelling with hope and determination, as she gazes out at the shimmering waters of the Astral Sea before her. That is where Tamaros' soul lies bound, somewhere between the material plane and the ethereal. And now that I have the power of the nine hells at my command, I know that there is nothing that I cannot achieve.
As Ilara searches, she finds herself getting tired from the exertion of her newfound power. She can't find Tamaros.
He isn't here, she murmurs, a note of despair creeping into her voice as she realizes the futility of her search for Tamaros within the Astral Sea. He isn't here?
Mistweaver nuzzles up against her friend's side, a soft purr escaping her throat as she offers her companionship and support. You did your best, Ilara. But sometimes things aren't meant to be.
Ilara remembers the word of the robed figure who spoke to her about saving Tamaros.
If you use the power of the rod to destroy Corellon's avatar, you will have the power to find Tamaros. But by doing so, you will claim the rod. All of the nine hells will then want to kill you and take it back.
Ilara gazes out at the Astral Sea once more, her heart heavy with the burden of responsibility and the weight of her choices as she contemplates the advice of the robed figure and the immense power that rests within her hands.
Asmodeus' spirit continues to speak with her. You are still mortal. To claim the power you need, you will need to claim the power of a god. Kill the avatar and claim Corellon's divinity for yourself.
Mistweaver turns around to face Ilara, her eyes wide with a mix of confusion and trepidation as she takes in the enormity of the words that have been spoken. A god? Ilara, are you even listening? Destroying another being to claim their powers? I can't believe.
Ilara turns to face Mistweaver, her expression one of intense contemplation as she weighs the implications of what Asmodeus has revealed to her, the potential for incredible power at the cost of her own humanity, a price that even the love she has for Tamaros cannot begin to justify. Ilara looks back to the astral sea, her heart heavy with the weight of her decision, as she contemplates the enormous price that lies before her, and the terrible sacrifice that she would have to make in order to save the soul of her beloved Tamaris. I can't. Not without you, Mistweaver. But I must. She holds up the ruby rod and begins to chant in a language she has never used before. Ilara closes her eyes as the words spill forth from her lips, her voice taking on a resonance that echoes throughout the cosmos by the power of the nine hells. I invoke thy divine might. Take me to the domain of Corellon.
Ilara's visage transforms. Gone is the schoolgirl. Great horns grow from her head. Her hair becomes longer, wild. A tail forms behind her. She becomes more beautiful and more deadly as she claims Nessus and becomes the lord of the nine hells. She knows now that the Avatar cannot stand up to her might. She has the power to shake the foundations of the gods themselves.
Ilara's voice rings out, echoing through the halls of Nessus as she takes her rightful place as a lord of the nine hells. Her form, radiating with an otherworldly beauty and power, as she contemplates the enormity of her transformation and the tremendous responsibility that now rests upon her shoulders. Let all who would challenge me do so at their peril. For I am the Archmage Ilara Glintshade, mistress of the crystal ruby rod, and the very essence of the power that now flows through these hallowed halls.
The Nine Hells shakes as the new order is established. There will be pretenders to Ilara's rule, but she knows that she is the rightful ruler of the Hell.
Ilara surveys the hallowed halls of Nessus, a look of fierce determination and resolve burning within her eyes as she prepares to face whatever challenges may lie ahead for her new position as a ruler in the Nine Hells. I will not let the power that now flows through me, the power to shape reality itself, be tainted by the machinations and deceit of any who would seek to challenge me. My rule shall be one of perfect order, a reign of peace and prosperity, and all those who dwell within the depths of Nessus will know and acknowledge my rightful place as the one true ruler of this realm.
Ah yes, my dear girl. There it is, you now feel what it is to be a lord of the Nine. You can feel the power surge through you.
Mistweaver pads around the edge of the hall, her head held high in awe of the transformation that has taken place before her eyes. Ilara, I'm in awe of what you have become. The power of the Nine Hells, it is so grand, so awe-inspiring. But, I must say, it is also a little intimidating.
In the back of her mind, Ilara remembers her friends. Lila, Valerissa, Gromgar, and Elendil.
I know that you're still in there, somewhere deep down, and I won't forget you and the others who helped me to this point. I'll come back for you, don't you worry about that.
Mistweaver looks up at her, a small smile playing at her lips, even as the weight of Ilara's words seem to press down upon her. I'm sure you'll find a way to make this work, Ilara. You're too stubborn not to. Just don't lose yourself in the process, all right? You're still you. Deep down, Miss Weaver turns and saunters away, her tail swishing lazily behind her. As she reaches the threshold to the portal that Ilara created, she pauses and turns back to face her friend once more. In her eyes, there is a spark of mischief, but also a depth of emotion that speaks to a love and trust that knows no bounds. He smiles at Ilara, her voice soft and sweet. By the way, what are you going to name yourself now? You can't be Ilara anymore, not with that title.
Ilara chuckles, her voice holding a note of warmth and fondness as she considers the question that has been posed by her loyal companion. Well, I have to admit that I'm still considering my options, but I think for now, I'll keep Ilara. It has been my name since childhood, and it reminds me of where I started from and the journey that brought me to where I am today. I believe that it will help me to keep grounded amidst the power and prestige that now surround me.
End of scene. Start of scene. Feywild encampment. Elendil, Grongar, Valarissa, and Lila are waiting for nightfall at the old temple to Sehanine. There a portal to the Nine Hells opens and out walks the transformed Ilara.
I'm back. I did what needed to be done, but... Ilara looks at them with an intense expression in her eyes, a mixture of triumph, sorrow, and love. I'm not the same now. I'm different, and I don't know if this difference is a good thing or a bad thing, but it is there nonetheless.
You'll have to trust that whatever Ilara you've become is a better version of her than what was before.
That may be true, Mistweaver, but how do I know if the end justifies the means?
He grumbles to himself, just don't get any ideas of taking over the world, you hear me. You're my mate's best friend, and I ain't about to lose her to some tyrant wannabe.
Lila blushes a little and then chuckles, you're an idiot, Grom, and she knows it.
I'll vouch for her, Gromgar. I trust her with my life.
Elendil looks at the transformed Ilara with a serious expression on his face. Ilara, if there is anything that I can do to help you through this, or if there is anything that you need from me, then please do not hesitate to tell me.
Ilara gazes back at her friends, a mixture of emotions swirling within her eyes, a fierce determination, a deep sadness, and a profound love that transcends anything she has ever known before. Her heart aches for the girl she once was, but she knows that she can never go back to that life now. My dear friends, I don't know what the future holds for me, and for you. I can't say that I completely understand everything that has happened, or how my choices will affect us all in the long run. But I can promise you this. No matter who or what I may become, I will never abandon my loyalty and commitment to you all. You have been, and always will be, the constants in my life that I have cherished most. And if there is one thing I have learned from this entire ordeal, it is that nothing is more important than the love and friendship we share together. As Ilara begins to recount her tale of sacrifice and transformation, a sense of weight settles heavily upon her heart. The burden of her choices laid bare before her friends in all its raw and undeniable truth. Her voice wavers slightly as she struggles to find the right words, but she presses on, determined to share with them the entire scope of her journey. After claiming the power of the ruby rod, I traveled to the astral sea in search of Tamaris's soul, but as I delved into the mysteries of the cosmos, I realized that his spirit was bound to the material plane, not to be found by the likes of me.
What? You searched the astral sea? And what happened to him?
Ilara feels the warmth of her tears upon her cheeks, a testament to the depth of the emotions that churn within her very core. She kneels down before the remains, the silence around them broken only by the gentle sobs that escape her lips. She takes a deep breath, her eyes still brimming with tears, her voice shaky, yet determined as she recounts the events that just transpired. Tamaros was connected to the Far Realm. It's a twisted realm of madness and corruption. It could have taken hold of him, consumed him, even though he didn't realize it. But when he realized it, he didn't give up. He chose to sever that connection, to cast it out of himself. Ilara takes a deep breath, and with trembling lips, she begins to speak, her voice trembling with emotion, as she recounts everything that she had just learned from Caleb and the robed figure. Tamaris has sacrificed himself to sever our connection from the Far Realm. His soul, it's now free, but not tethered to the astral sea either. Her voice shakes with anguish and sorrow as she continues. But there's hope. The robed figure has told me that I alone have the power to find Tamaris, because our souls are bound together. In this prophecy, the robed figure also said, I have to choose between the plan my friends have to fight Corellon, or to use the power of this rod to face Corellon myself and bring Tamaris back. The crystal ruby rod, a piece of power stolen by Asmodeus from the very heart of the abyss itself, chose me to fulfill an ancient prophecy that spoke of my rise to power. It was the will of destiny itself that I should come to stand at the very pinnacle of existence, not only as a ruler of the nine hells, but as a guardian of the cosmos, and a protector of those who seek solace from the chaos that reigns so freely throughout the plains. Her eyes gleaming with an otherworldly power and conviction, Elara speaks in a voice that echoes throughout the depths of Nessus. Her every word reverberating with a sense of purpose and determination that cannot be denied. I am Elara, the chosen of fate itself, the one destined to rise above the chaos of the nine hells and forge a new era of peace and stability. A true savior of this wretched place, born from the very flames of darkness and reborn as the shining beacon of hope for all who suffer within the infernal depths of Nessus. My power is absolute, my will unyielding, and my love for those who need my protection, a constant burning in my heart that will never be extinguished. She remembers the eyes of the robed figure who had approached her, a look of grim determination and fierce resolve etching itself into every line of her face as she speaks, her voice ringing with conviction. I do not claim Corellon's divinity simply as a means of proving my strength or flexing my newfound power. No, my friends, my journey was never about that. It was always about finding a way to bring my beloved Tamaris back to me, and in order to do so, I am willing to go to the very ends of the cosmos and challenge even the gods themselves if need be. For I know, deep down in the core of my being, that our love, our destiny, is meant to be, and no matter what challenges lie in our path, we will triumph. Together. It was as though he was standing right in front of me. I could feel his love, his warmth, even though I knew that he wasn't really there. But it was enough to fill my heart with joy, to make me smile even through my tears. His soul, boundless and free from the far realm, it was as though he had stepped into the realm of my own dreams, and for a moment, for a single fleeting instant, we were together again. It was perfect, a symphony of emotions and memories that flowed between us in a way that I never knew was possible, a connection so deep and profound that I could only marvel at its beauty, and at the profound gift it was to know and be loved by a being such as he.
We must help her. We are her family, and it is our duty to see this through with her. No matter what lies ahead, we stand with her, our hearts and souls entwined in love and commitment.
She is going to need us more than ever now. The burden of her newfound power is tremendous. I only hope she knows how much we will be here to support her, to help bear that weight when it feels like too much.
Gromgar grips Elara tightly, his eyes brimming with unshed tears, as he finds the words to express the depth of his feelings for his beloved friend. Elara, I cannot express to you the magnitude of my love and support for you at this time. I stand before you now as a mere dwarf, unprepared to face the immense power and responsibility that lies before you. But I swear by the very foundations of my being that I will stand with you, that I will be at your side in this journey, and that together we will see this prophecy through to the end. I will not falter, I will not abandon you, no matter what lies in our future. You have my word, and I give it to you with my honor and my heart. Now, let us face this new dawn with love, with courage, and with an unbreakable bond between us. Together we will conquer this challenge, and emerge as the champions of hope that this world so desperately needs.
Elendil gazes upon Elara with an expression of profound devotion and admiration, his heart swelling with love and loyalty as he contemplates the immense strength and power that has now been entrusted to their beloved leader. Elara, you are the true embodiment of all that it means to be a hero. You have faced the unimaginable horrors of the far realm and the abyss, and through it all, your love and conviction have never wavered. You have risen above the chaos of the nine hells and claimed your place as one of the most powerful beings in all of existence. And now, As we stand together in this moment of triumph and uncertainty, I pledge to you, Elara, my unwavering support and loyalty, not just as your friend and companion, but as the one who has been entrusted with the sacred responsibility of preserving the sanctity of the Nine Hells under your benevolent rule. I am your shadow, your guardian, your defender, and I will stop at nothing to ensure your safety and well-being. For it is my honor to serve the one who has chosen me to bear witness to the unfolding of your destiny.
Elara pulls out Tamaris's Vorpal Blade.
The blade. It seems to resonate with my power now. Elara feels a strong connection to it, almost like a kindred spirit of sorts. The blade, the rod, both powerful tools, meant for her. I am not sure what its purpose is now, or how we might use it in this journey. Elara holds up the blade, feeling its weight and power. She thinks to herself, perhaps, with this blade in hand, she will be able to locate Tamaris.
Elendil takes in a deep breath as he considers the blade in Elara's hand, his heart pounding with a mixture of excitement and apprehension. He looks up at her with a hopeful smile, his voice laced with an undertone of uncertainty and awe as he speaks. If it is indeed a tool of your power, Elara, then I can only imagine the wonders it could bring us on our quest. The Far Realm may seem an impossible place to navigate, but perhaps with the blade and your strength at the helm, we may yet find our way through to Tamaris's side. I trust your judgment completely, Elara, and I know that whatever path you choose to take us upon, I will follow faithfully and eagerly to the very end.
Miss Weaver watches Elara, her tail twitching with a combination of excitement and trepidation. She can't deny the power she feels emanating from her friend, the strength of the bond between them that seems to have only grown stronger despite the distance that has kept them apart. She feels her own spirit stirring, a part of her eager to join the cause of their shared destiny, but another part of her is still wary of the challenges that lie ahead. She looks up at Elara with a mischievous glint in her eye and purrs softly as she speaks. If you ever need a friend who can keep up with you, who can stand at your side and offer you the support you need in your hour of greatest need, just look for me, my dear Elara. I may not possess the powers you have now, but I will always be by your side, ready to offer you whatever comfort, whatever companionship you require.
Layla gazes at Elara with a mixture of admiration and wonder as she watches the blade resonate with the power within her. She can see the determination etched in Elara's features, the fierce conviction that burns like a fire within her very soul. She nods her head slowly as she speaks, her voice filled with a profound sense of trust and loyalty, as she gives her friend her blessing to lead them into whatever challenges may lie ahead. Elara, with the blade in your power by our side, I have no doubt that we will succeed in our quest to find Tamaris and bring him back to you. You have led us this far through the darkest of times, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will continue to do so, even in the face of the greatest of obstacles. You are the one who binds our souls together, the one who guides us through the shadows, and the one who shines like a beacon of hope in our darkest hours. I will follow you to the ends of the earth, my love, my friend, my destiny. Together we will see this prophecy through, and we will emerge as the champions of light that this world so desperately needs.
End of scene. Start of scene. Nightfall. The full moon rises over the forest. Now is the time for the offering to Saeanine to request an audience.
Elendil approaches the ancient temple dedicated to Saeanine, the Moon Maiden of Elves, the Lady of Whispering Shadows, the gentlest of the elven goddesses. He moves with a reverent silence, his every step attuned to the soft rustling of the leaves beneath his feet, and the hushed whispers of the wind that carries the sweet perfume of blooming wildflowers. The moonlight bathes the forest in an ethereal glow, casting long shadows and painting the world in hues of silver and gold. It is a sacred time, one where the veil between the realms is thin, allowing for communication between the mortals and the gods themselves. Elendil reaches the temple doors, a grand entrance made of polished silver that glows with a luminescence that rivals the moon itself. He kneels down on the steps and begins to pray, his voice soft yet filled with a profound devotion that echoes throughout the silent forest.
With Saiyanine's aid, we must stand strong, unwavering, as our bond strengthens. The future we shall shape as one.
Ilara watches as Valarissa offers her prayers, her own heart filled with a mixture of hope, determination, and awe, as she contemplates the divine power that she knows Saiyanine possesses. She gazes up at the moon, marveling at its beauty and the subtle magic that it seems to weave into the very fabric of existence. She whispers her own prayer, asking for guidance and wisdom as she navigates the treacherous waters of fate and destiny that lie before her and her loved ones. She knows that this journey will not be an easy one, but she trusts in the strength of the bond between her and the other members of their group, a bond that is as strong as any spell or sword could hope to be.
You stain the ground of my temple with your presence, devil.
Forgive my intrusion, noble goddess. I come seeking your aid in a matter of utmost urgency. Our souls are bound by the prophecy, and only with the guidance of a deity such as yourself can we hope to fulfill our destinies.
Saiyanine walks. Time seems to stand still as only Ilara is being granted this audience. What offer can one such as yourself have for me or my people? What could you possibly want?
Ilara bows her head reverently before the goddess, a smile of gratitude and respect spreading across her face as she takes in the sheer magnificence of the divine being that now stands before her. Her voice is soft and gentle as she begins to speak, each word carefully chosen to convey the depth of her devotion and the sincerity of her intent. Noble Saiyanine, it is true that our paths have crossed under unusual circumstances, and I do not deny that the power and the prophecy that surrounds my companions and me is far beyond our control or understanding. But what I can assure you of is the purity of our hearts, the strength of our loyalty, and the depth of our determination to see this journey through to its rightful end. I beg of you, wise and just goddess, to grant us this boon, to open your doors to us, and to share with us the ancient wisdom and knowledge that your people possess. In return, we promise to use this knowledge wisely, to uphold the values of your sacred temple, and to bring honor and glory to your divine name as we strive to fulfill the destiny that has been laid before us.
I cannot allow one such as yourself to enter my city. There is no place for the Lords of the Nine in my halls. The rest of your companions don't seem tainted by your presence. I will allow two of them to enter my city, no more than that.
Ilara's eyes widen in shock and disbelief as the goddess delivers her decision, but she does not show any signs of anger or resentment towards her divine counterpart. Instead, she takes a deep breath, collecting her thoughts and composing herself with a serene expression that belies the turmoil that may be raging within her heart. She looks up at Saiyanine with a mixture of gratitude and understanding in her eyes, as she begins to speak once more. I understand your concerns and your reluctance to allow me entry into your sacred realm, noble Saiyanine. But please, allow me to humbly ask you one last time if there is any way that you could grant my companions and me permission to enter your city and learn the ancient song that holds the key to our destiny. We promise to use this knowledge wisely, and we swear that no harm or dishonor will come to your sacred temple or to any of your faithful followers who may encounter us.
Only two of your party may enter, and not you. That is all I offer you.
Two companions is more than enough, wise goddess. She turns to her group. Ilara addresses the group in a calm but firm voice, her eyes filled with an unshakable resolve and a deep trust in her companions. Listen well, my friends. Ilara pauses for a moment to collect her thoughts. Saiyanine has graciously granted us permission to enter her city, but she has only offered it to two of us, and alas, that shall not be me. For my place lies here, as the one who must stay, even as my heart yearns to join you all on your journey into the unknown. But fear not, for I know that you will be in the most capable and honorable of hands, the ones who have stood beside me through the darkest of times, and have proven time and time and time again to be the steadfast companions that I can always depend on.
Lila gazes upon Ilara with a look of fierce determination in her eyes, her spirit stirred to its core by the revelation of her leader's selfless devotion and unshakable resolve. She places a comforting hand on Ilara's arm and offers her a reassuring smile before turning to face Valerissa and the rest of the group. We must go. Sernin has granted us this rare gift, and we must not squander it.
Then, shall we embrace destiny?
Elendil nods his head resolutely, a determined fire burning in his eyes as he takes in the gravity of the decision that has been made. He clasps Lila's hand in his own, his heart filled with an unbreakable bond of love and loyalty as he speaks. Indeed, we shall embrace destiny, and together, we shall face whatever lies ahead with strength, with courage, and with an unwavering commitment to one another, and to the cause of our shared destiny. For the path ahead is fraught with danger, and only by standing united and steadfast, guided by the light of Sihanin's wisdom and grace, will we be able to overcome the trials and challenges that await us.
The party must decide which Toucan will enter the city to search for the song.
Lila, I think you and I should be the ones to enter the city.
Lila's heart skips a beat as she listens to Elendil's words, a warm blush staining her cheeks at the thought of entering Sahanian's sacred realm side by side with her beloved companion. She nods her head slowly in agreement, a gentle smile tugging at the corners of her lips as she speaks. Of course, Elendil. I would be honored to share this journey with you.
End of scene. Start of scene. Lila and Elendil walk down the streets of Sylphidia Serenitatis. All of the trees are in various hues of red, orange, and yellows. Cool air blows down the streets from a mountain that is visible in the distance. Elven citizens walk through the streets as a harvest festival is going on. The sound of music can be heard from the temples in the area.
Lila gazes around in wonder and delight as she and Elendil make their way through the streets of Sylphidia Serenitatis, their hearts filled with a sense of reverence and awe as they take in the sheer beauty and tranquility of the Elven City. She feels a warm blush staining her cheeks as she presses close to her companion, her hand finding the warmth of his own in the cool autumnal breeze that whispers through the city streets. Her eyes dance with mischief as she turns to him and whispers playfully in his ear, her voice laced with a playful affection that cannot be contained. So, Elendil, tell me, what have you always dreamed of doing while you were in the city? Perhaps you could show me some of your favorite spots?
Elendil smiles down at Lila, his eyes twinkling with warmth and love as he considers her question, his mind drifting back to all of the wonderful memories that he has made in this sacred place during his travels over the years. He takes a deep breath, his senses filled with the intoxicating aroma of blooming wildflowers and freshly baked bread that wafts through the air. Before leading Lila to one of his favorite spots, a small clearing just outside one of the many beautiful temples that dot the landscape. In the center of the clearing stands an ancient tree, its branches heavy with the fruit of 1,000 different varieties, and the trunk adorned with intricate carvings that tell the stories of the elven people's history and culture. The soft rustling of the leaves and the gentle crooning of the birds creates a peaceful melody that seems to weave itself into the very fabric of existence, and the air is filled with a sweet fragrance that is both calming and invigorating. Elendil turns to Lila with a tender smile as he speaks, his voice filled with a profound reverence and a deep love for the land that he has called his own for so long. Here, Lila, Elendil points to the ancient tree, his voice laced with a mixture of pride and gratitude, as he explains to Lila the significance of the place that he has brought her to. Here, in the heart of this sacred city, is where the spirit of Sehanin is strongest. It is a place of great power and wisdom, where the whispers of the gods themselves seem to echo through the ages. And it is here, under the boughs of this ancient tree, where the song of remembrance is sung. Each note carries within it the essence of our destiny, the very purpose for which we were born, and the key to our ultimate victory.
Lila's eyes widen in wonder as she listens to Elendil's words, the weight of the moment sinking deeply into her heart as she gazes upon the ancient tree, its branches heavy with the fruit of countless harvests and its trunk carved with the stories of countless generations. She takes a deep breath, feeling the energy of the place coursing through her veins, filling her with a sense of calm and peace that seems to radiate from the very earth itself. Her hand finds the warmth of Elendil's in the cool autumnal air, a smile of pure joy spreading across her face as she turns to him with a look of fierce determination and unwavering faith in her eyes. Then let us sing, Elendil. For I know that our voices, joined together by the power of the divine, shall bring forth a melody that echoes through time and space, a song of remembrance that will carry us ever closer to our destiny and the fulfillment of the prophecy that has been laid before us.
The song of remembrance.
A beautiful and powerful melody. One that will guide us and protect us as we journey forward towards the fate that has been laid out for us. Lila gazes down at the ground, her eyes thoughtful as she recalls the plan that has been laid out before them, the weight of the responsibility settling heavily upon her heart. She takes a deep breath, gathering her strength and resolve before speaking, her voice filled with an unshakable conviction and a fierce determination to see their mission through to its end. Then, let us prepare for the trap, Elendil. The song of remembrance must be sung at exactly the right moment, when the Avatar of Karelin is at its weakest, and when the energy of our voices is strongest. We must be as one, our spirits united in our quest for justice and truth, and our hearts filled with an unwavering faith in the power of destiny that has led us to this moment. For when we join our voices together and sing this ancient melody, there is no force in all of existence that can resist its power.
The energy of Sahanin's city seems to resonate within Mistweaver's heart, her eyes glowing softly with an ethereal light that is both a testament to her feline grace and a reflection of the divine magic that permeates the very air itself. She pads quietly through the streets, her every step attuned to the gentle whispering of the trees and the soft crooning of the birds that fill the sky with their melodic voices. A scent of wildflowers and freshly baked bread seems to envelop her in a sweet and soothing embrace, and the cool autumnal breeze that caresses her fur sends a shiver of pleasure running through her body. She is in her element, a creature of magic and mystery, perfectly at home in this sacred place of wonder and enchantment.
The whispering seraphim lute begins to respond to the energies of the temple. Perhaps now Elendil can finally play its tune.
Elendil smiles as he observes the enchantment of the elven city, the vibrant colors, and the lush foliage. All seem to swirl and blend into a mesmerizing dance of light and color that seems to awaken the soul and stir the heart in ways that no other place on earth can hope to match. The energy of the land itself seems to echo the song of remembrance, the ancient melody that flows through the very air and courses through the veins of the earth, a song that speaks to the deepest parts of his soul and the unshakable purpose that he knows he was born to fulfill. As he walks through the streets, he feels the whispering seraphim lute resonating in perfect harmony with the energies around him. A symphony of divine power and ancient magic that fills his being with a sense of wonder and awe beyond measure. He turns to Lila, his eyes alight with joy and excitement as he speaks, his voice filled with an uncontainable enthusiasm that cannot be concealed. "You know, Lila, I always dreamed of bringing this place to life through music, of sharing its beauty and its magic with all who hear my songs."
Mistweaver watches as Elendil takes the whispering seraphim lute from its case and begins to strum the strings, a mesmerizing melody filling the air with a symphony of divine beauty and ancient magic. Her tail swishes back and forth in time with the music, her eyes wide with a mix of wonder and awe as she drinks in the power and grace of Elendil's playing, his fingers seeming to dance upon the strings with a finesse and skill that is nothing short of breathtaking. She crouches down, her body a testament to the grace and agility of the feline form, her eyes fixed upon the lute as if hypnotized by the mesmerizing dance of light and sound that it creates. A soft purr escapes from her throat as she feels the energy of the lute flowing through her, a gentle yet powerful vibration that seems to echo deep within the very core of her being. The whispering seraphim lute. Such a beautiful instrument. Its melody carries the weight of a thousand secrets and ancient wisdom. You are a truly gifted musician, Elendil.
Layla's heart swells with pride and admiration as she watches Elendil play the whispering seraphim lute, his fingers deftly tracing the intricate patterns that flow through the instrument's strings, creating a melody that seems to dance on the very wind itself. She takes a deep breath, filling her lungs with the sweet, intoxicating scent of wildflowers and freshly baked bread that permeates the air. Before speaking, her voice laced with a mixture of awe and gratitude. Oh, Elendil, how wonderful it is to hear you play again. Your touch upon the lute is as divine as the city we now stand in. Your music an offering to Sandine herself, a testament to the beauty and power of art in its purest form. I am so glad that you chose to share this moment of pure joy and wonder with me.
Appearing before the group, almost floating to them walks Sihanin Mundo, her silver hair adorned with fallen leaves of all colors. She wears an orange-red dress with a warm cloak pulled around her. I haven't heard anyone play such a beautiful song in many years.
Layla looks up at the sight of Sihanin walking towards them, her heart filled with a sense of awe and reverence for the divine being who now stands before them. She bows her head respectfully, her hands pressed together in a gesture of utmost humility and devotion. Thank you, noble Sihanin, for your kind words, and for allowing us to enter your sacred city. It is an honor beyond measure for us to have the privilege to hear the whispering seraphim lute in such an esteemed location, and I am so grateful that you have taken the time to listen to our song. She smiles warmly up at her beloved companion, Elendil, the pride and love in her eyes clearly visible as she watches him strum the strings of the divine instrument.
Mistweaver watches as Sihanin walks towards them, her ears perked up with curiosity and respect. She knows that the elven goddess is as beautiful and enchanting as her song, and she is eager to hear the divine being speak in person, her heart filled with a sense of wonder and awe that she had never known before. As Sihanin draws closer, her eyes widen even more as she takes in the radiant beauty of the goddess, the ethereal light that seems to surround her, and the aura of power and grace that flows from every part of her being. She bows her head in reverence, her voice barely above a whisper as she speaks, her words a testament to her deep respect for Sihanin and her unshakable faith in the divine. Your words are as soothing and beautiful as the song itself, Sihanin Mundo. Your wisdom and grace have truly inspired me, and I am forever grateful for the opportunity to have shared this sacred moment with you.
Zehanina bends over and scratches Mistweaver. Ah, Kaonoya. Tasiblianta, Fada Okonoik Misionde Dorshinial and Seo. Ta Fita Romhat Imochather, Ijikonai, she says.
Mistweaver purrs and nuzzles up to Sihanin as the goddess pets her, a warm smile spreading across her face at the unexpected affection. She looks up at Sihanin with a mischievous glint in her eyes as she speaks, her voice filled with a playful affection that is unmistakable. Oh, Sihanin Mundo, your touch is as gentle and soothing as your voice, a perfect blend of warmth and care. And I must confess, I am honored beyond measure to have been graced with such attention from one who has graced so many realms with her wisdom and grace. Indeed, I have never felt such a profound sense of peace and contentment in the presence of any being before.
And it was an honor to have one of such skill play that song. I know why you're here. The time has come to bring the Feywild to balance.
Mistweaver's eyes widen with curiosity as she listens to Sihanin's words, her heart filled with a sense of urgency and determination to see their quest through to its end. She knows that the path ahead is fraught with danger and challenge, and she is ready to face whatever obstacles may lie in their way with unwavering loyalty and steadfast courage. She looks up at Alara and Layla with a nod of approval, her eyes filled with a fierce determination that is both inspiring and heartening to see in a creature such as herself. She takes a deep breath, feeling the energy of Sihanin's words course through her veins, filling her with a renewed sense of purpose and strength.
Elendil smiles up at Sihanin, a warm glow of pride and satisfaction spreading across his face at the approval he has received from the goddess. He bows his head in respect, his voice filled with a profound reverence for the divine being who now stands before them. Thank you, noble Sihanin. Your wisdom and guidance are the light that illuminates our way forward, and your words of encouragement serve as the strength that drives us ever onward on our quest. I know that the journey ahead will be fraught with danger and challenge, but with your blessing and the power of the Feywild behind us, we will never falter or turn away from the path that lies before us, even if it leads us to the very depths of despair or the highest heights of glory. He takes a deep breath, his gaze meeting Lila's with a look of love and loyalty that speaks volumes about the bond that has grown between them in this sacred city. He turns to face the path that leads them forward, his heart filled with a sense of awe and wonder at the journey that now lies before them.
Zehanina begins singing the song of remembrance. Without needing the notes, Elendil begins to play the tune and Lila knows the words.
Elendil watches with reverent fascination as Sehanine begins to sing the song of remembrance, her voice flowing over him like a soothing caress. Its ethereal beauty seeming to awaken the very soul and stir the heart in ways that he had never experienced before. He nods in unspoken understanding, a smile of gratitude and respect lighting up his face as he feels the ancient melody resonating within him, guiding him towards his destiny. His fingers move over the whispering seraphim lute with deft skill, the instrument coming to life under his touch as it echoes the haunting beauty of Sehanine's voice in perfect harmony.
Lila gazes at Elendil as he begins to play, her heart swelled with pride and affection as she watches the love of her life bring the ancient instrument to life with his mastery. She listens intently to Sehanine's song, her own voice filling with an unshakable resolve as she memorizes each note, each rhythm, each melody that weaves itself together to form the song of remembrance. The air seems to shimmer with magic around them, the energy of Sehanine's presence permeating everything and filling Lila with a profound sense of peace and hope. She bows her head respectfully to the goddess as she sings, her voice joining Elendil's in perfect harmony, a symphony of love and devotion that seems to echo through the very fabric of existence. As the last note of the song fades away, Lila looks up at Sehanine with a radiant smile, her eyes shining with an uncontainable joy at having witnessed the divine beauty of her song firsthand. Thank you, Sehanine Moonbow.
I know what must be done, but my heart breaks for Corellon. He held on to power to try and help his people through a time of darkness. He should have seen the threat to the Feywild from an unbalanced Spring Court.
Lila watches as Sehanine speaks, her heart filled with a sense of compassion and understanding for the difficult path that has been laid before the gods. She knows that the struggle for power and the quest for balance is one that is both ancient and ever-present in the realm of the divine, and she marvels at the strength and wisdom that it takes to navigate such waters with grace and integrity. She bows her head respectfully to Sehanine, her voice soft and gentle as she speaks. We understand, Sehanine. Our hearts ache for Corellon and for the people who must face the consequences of his actions. But we cannot ignore the threat that now stands before us, nor can we allow the darkness to consume all of the light in the Feywild. We must act, not to condemn Corellon or to seek revenge, but to restore the balance that has been so disrupted and to bring peace and prosperity to all of the realms of Faerie. We stand with you in this moment of great challenge and change, and together we will see this destiny through to its rightful end, for the sake of all who have come before us and for those who will follow after us.
Mistweaver looks at Sehanine with a mix of sorrow and understanding, her heart breaking for the pain that Corellon has caused, but also filled with a sense of purpose and resolve as she knows that they must stand with Sehanine and fight for the balance and the light. She steps forward, her eyes shining with determination and hope, her voice filled with an unbreakable spirit as she speaks. We will stand with you, noble Sehanine, to face the darkness and to bring back the light. The journey ahead is one that we do not fear, but one that we approach with respect, determination, and the unwavering loyalty of our heart. Together, we will see this destiny through, no matter the cost, for the sake of all who have come before us, and for those who will follow after us. We are not just companions, nor are we just friends. But we are a family bound together by the love we have for one another, and for the cause that now drives us ever onward.
With the lesson imparted, Sehanine leaves the group and heads back into the city.
Let us depart. She smiles warmly at Elendil before turning towards the city, eager to continue on the journey that now lies ahead. The thrill of the unknown, the promise of adventure, and the deep bonds of trust and loyalty that have formed among them serve as a steady flame in their hearts. illuminating the way forward into the very depths of fate itself. I will lead us on this path, and together we shall overcome any obstacles that stand in our way.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.